Thank you, Dave. As we approach God's word then this morning, you might want to have Psalm 91 open in front of you. We're going to come to that reading in a little while and to Ephesians 6 a bit after that. I want to pray first of all and pray that God will settle our hearts and minds into a place where we can hear from his word, hear the things that he would have us focus on this morning, and also to know in our own lives what to do with them. What to do with what God gives us this morning. So let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you for all that we've already considered, all that we've already had shared with us. We thank you for the blessing of worship and of being led in our worship in the way that Dave has done. And Father, now as we come to look at your word, we pray that it will be your Holy Spirit who's leading, guiding, strengthening us, having us listen carefully, having us be honest and real and vulnerable, and Lord, trusting in you. So Father, we give ourselves completely to you right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this first little bit might reveal to you that I'm not quite so ready as Dave has suggested we have to be to accept that the summer's over. Just think for a moment about the kinds of places you like being in. Maybe you're thinking about relaxing by a beach or wishing you still were. Maybe walking by a river is the thing that does it for you, hearing the river rushing by the side of you and having the shade of the trees along the river. But are you getting there? These are places you like to be, yeah? Maybe it's some sporting events. Some of you like to be focused on slower sporting events. Others of us like to be focused on faster sporting events, as we will this afternoon. But whatever the place is, maybe it's somewhere we like to live. Would we choose ourselves a big country mansion, or would we choose ourselves the city penthouse suite with all its modern facilities? So many choices, aren't there? And what I want us to have in mind is the places where we long to be, the places where we would choose to be, and think about why we would choose those. What makes them significant for you? So just tell me for a moment, if you were doing this, if I was saying to you, tell me the place you would be and why, what's your response? Come on. Joe says somewhere without an... Joe, you'd be so lost. What would you do without an internet connection? So somewhere where you can just be away from the pressures, the demands, the people wanting more of you. Somewhere like that, yeah? Yeah, well, that sounds quite appealing, doesn't it? For many of us, I'm sure. So other places you would be and why. Where would you dwell? Where would you spend your time? Rod?
By the sea.
By the sea, but why there? Why there?
I was born there.
Yep.
Also where I first realised that there wasn't God.
Okay, so by the sea, the place where you remember, so it takes you back to the memories of childhood as well as meeting with God there for the first time. Mike, are you going to say something about golf?
Something, yeah.
Yeah. You're quite predictable. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, golf course. Not just one, though. It's actually different golf courses.
Lots of golf courses. A place where you'd like to be content, hitting your little ball and being away from your family. Yeah. Anyway. It's easy, isn't it, to relate to things like that. It's easy to think about the places where we want to be, the places where we will take ourselves to, the place where we feel relaxed and secure and happy, unrushed, unhurried, maybe. So just think about it this way then now. Hear these words: the Lord is my dwelling place. And this is in the next, in our series that we're working through, we'll be finishing the series next week, but in our series looking at the names of God, focusing on what we can learn about the nature, the character of God. The Lord is my dwelling place. I wonder how easy, though, it is for us to think about that. How easy is it for us to relate to God as our dwelling place, in the same way, with the same ease as we have those other things we've just been talking about? It ought to be just as easy, didn't it? But I wonder whether perhaps if our honest answer would be, well, I know that's how it's meant to be. I know that's how I'm supposed to focus on God, my dwelling place, the place I long to dwell, the place I feel secure, and the person I long to be with. Maybe we'd want to say, I know it's supposed to be like that, but if we're honest, maybe we'd want to add, but you know what? So much of the time it feels so hard to think about God as our dwelling place in that way. There'd be all kinds of reasons, all kinds of different situations and struggles that cause us to think like that, won't there? We're not going to focus on the struggles and the challenges just yet. We're going to perhaps come back to those. But I want to dwell on the things that we have an opportunity to realise about God this morning. God as our dwelling place. Try and understand that and then relate it back into perhaps our places of struggle that we carry with us. So follow with me in Psalm 91. I want to start here. And Dave's already touched on these verses, the first couple of verses, and I'll read them again. I'm going to read the whole of Psalm 91, and then we'll start here, we'll come to Ephesians later on. The psalmist writes, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare, and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is your refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. And I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Now, at different points along the way in this psalm, the psalmist is here reflecting on the struggle, isn't he? And a couple to that, we've got those words of praise, that God hasn't left the person who's written this in their despair, but He's moved them into this new dwelling place, this new sense of presence with God. The experiences of this new place where things will be focusing on the words we've already touched on. There'll be the focus on safety and protection and security and peace. And that's all expressed here in these words of praise in this psalm. You know, whatever we might come back to in a little while as our places of struggle, the things that we got kind of wrestle with or are burdened by in our lives, you know, those places that we long to be lifted out of and instead be in that dwelling place in that presence of God, whatever those things are, the Lord has given us this promise, hasn't He? He's promised for all of us that He will move us out of that wilderness place that we feel that we might dwell in, and instead we'll know the security of His embrace. That's God's promise to us. He will do that. And God's promise to us as well is that we can live in His strength, and that we can know Him as our dwelling place. We can move towards Him in that place. So let's think about those things together. First of all, let's think about this movement from a sense of being in the wilderness, in the struggle, to a place of embrace, a place of security, a place of comfort. You know, when you're in a wilderness kind of place, it's often all you can see, isn't it? When everything around you is bleak or challenging, and the thoughts then about being in a place of shelter, being shielded from the storm, standing on the strength of a rock, being comforted, being like in a fortress, as the psalm describes it, being in those places when you're in the midst of that wilderness moment, they're hard to imagine, aren't they? We focus instead on the struggle. You know, we know from our Bibles that it was just the same with God's people. When God rescued them from slavery in Egypt and then they spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. They struggled with it, we know that. In Exodus, we read about their complaining, their grumbles, that things were hard going, things weren't how they used to be. And they know that Moses has been seeking God on their behalf, but it just doesn't feel good to them. And they want to be lifted up out of that wilderness place. And so they come to Moses with their grumbles and their complaints. We read all about that. Yet we read as well that in that same wilderness place, God's people learn about the Lord as their dwelling place. Now on the top of the screen there you see I've coupled together two Hebrew words, the word for God, Jehovah, that's been there each week, and next to it is this Hebrew word, Meon. And the thing is, the word Meon, it doesn't just mean dwelling place. Meon was a place, a real place. In Judges chapter 10, it was the Meonites, along with the other nations around them in that area, who oppressed God's people. And God's people then cried out to God and he rescued them. So this word Meon for God's people had with it this carried this overtone of oppression and attack. And then in 1 Samuel 23 verse 24, pursued by an angry king Saul, David fled to the desert of Meon. He fled literally into a wilderness kind of place. So can you imagine the strangeness then for God's people as they try to associate with this place of struggle, this place of attack, but also try and couple together with that, this is a place of dwelling in the presence of God. This is God's dwelling place. They knew it as that wilderness place, not as a place of refuge and safety, but God wanted to meet with them there. And so here's the thing, it was during their experience in the wilderness that God powerfully revealed his character to his people as the one who was dwelling with them. They weren't there on their own. They weren't out in the wilderness all alone, abandoned, forgotten, shoved away. God was there with them in the midst of that bleakness, that scary place, that place of loneliness, hopelessness even. In that place, God was with his people to bring them his comfort, to bring them his reassurance. The Lord, their dwelling place. You know, God's people demonstrated that. We read this in the Old Testament. They demonstrated that in different ways. We read with Moses in the wilderness. They had their tabernacle, their tent of meeting, the place where Moses went to meet with God on behalf of his people. It was their visual representation that God was there with them. They needed to see it. They needed to hold on to it. They needed it right in front of them. You know, last week we were thinking about the Lord as our banner, weren't we? We focused on this banner here and the ones that I've put up at the back there. They're there, things that we can see to remind us, and God's people had that. You know, later on that focus shifted into the temple in Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God where his people came to worship him. Again, it was that visual reminder that God hadn't abandoned his people in a wilderness place. Nor was he standing at a distance from them, you know, away off somewhere where his presence couldn't be felt. So we come to the Psalms, and we come to Psalms like Psalm 46, where it's referenced in this way, that the Lord is an ever-present help in times of trouble. And those words become so powerful to us, don't they? When we're in that wilderness place, when we're in that place of despair and struggle, to hear these words, that the Lord is our ever-present help in times of trouble, those words then become so powerful for us. And the writer here, as I said, has been through some kind of struggle, but now they're out the other side of it, and they're looking back in. And it's as they do that, as they're looking back in, that they can see that God was there, he protected them, he supported them. It may not have always felt like that just at the time, but it's as they look back again, they can see that it was happening. And we need to notice as well in Psalm 91 that there are other words included in there, not just this word dwelling, but there are other words all come together. We have this sense of the dwelling presence of God alongside words like refuge and shield and protect. It's this whole group of words that tend to sit together normally in our Bibles. So the word Meon, this dwelling place, the Lord my dwelling place, it comes in together with all these other words to remind us that every time we pray to God as our dwelling place, every time we call out to him, then we carry with us that understanding of his character as the one being with us. We come to the one who has promised to watch over us and protect us. Now, just pause here for a moment. Just try and get a hold of this, because this is so important. We're going to move on to the New Testament in a moment, but I want us to hold on to this. Hold on to this fact that, you know, the Lord is our dwelling place. The place where we can be and know His strength, His presence, His calmness in our lives when everything else is in turmoil. We need to allow our hearts and minds to be opened up to the reality of that more and more, don't we? More often, not just now and then. Not just those high moments of praise and worship in a particular church service or whatever it might be. But when we are in our wilderness place, then we need to let that sense of the dwelling place, being with God. He's there with us. He's there showing us our hope. He's there renewing our strength and our energy and our vitality for Him. And we need to know that at the time, don't we? Not just when we look back later on and we realise, actually, you know, I thought that was just all rubbish and just all horrible and I missed the fact that God was there with me. We need to know it at the time. You know, we miss out on so much of God or from God when we let other things become our dwelling place. So I wonder then, is there a way in which we can focus on something that would help us more readily, moment by moment, day by day, focus on God as our dwelling place? And it won't surprise you to hear the minister say, well, yes, there is. And I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 6 just briefly and realise here that we have a way set out before us that we can live in the strength of God. So Ephesians 6, we'll come to the reading in a moment, but just turn to it ready. And, you know, we've been doing a bit of a leap here then from the Old Testament into the New Testament. We're moving from a sense of God dwelling amongst His people in the desert place that we've touched on already to a sense of God dwelling within His people. That's the shift we're making. But let me just quickly add this along the way. You know, it was definitely a decisive moment in the lives of God's people when they built that tent of meeting in the desert, that place where they could see, where Moses, their representative, could go to God and worship. And it was definitely a determined moment to keep that focus in their lives when the temple in Jerusalem was built. And so therefore, we bring those things together and we come to this defining moment when the temple of the curtain was torn in two top to bottom as Jesus died on the cross. You see, in that temple, that curtain separated the general worship area from the place set out, the Holy of Holies, didn't it? The place where only the consecrated priests could go. Only they could know the experience of dwelling in that place with God. And so when that curtain was torn top to bottom, it was that visual again, illustration for God saying to His people, look, you know, I've opened the way for you to know this too. For you to come nearer, for you to come to this deeper understanding of who I am, my relationship with you. No longer was the Lord just a sense of dwelling place on the outside, but here on the inside we have this new way opened up of God dwelling within us through His Holy Spirit. And it's within that sense of deeper understanding of God as our dwelling place that the New Testament stands. And so when we come to books like Ephesians, we're doing that with this deeper understanding of the Lord our dwelling place, dwelling with us through His Holy Spirit. So listen as I read, then follow if you can in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. This is Paul writing, and he says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This is Paul's focus. This is his way of saying, live in the strength of God. Do it this way. You know, this is the final section of Paul's letter, this particular letter to a church who he's been teaching how to live in fullness of relationship with God through Jesus. Let me encourage you to read through the whole of Ephesians sometime and look out for how Paul was seeking to bring that a deeper sense of understanding of God into people's lives and God's purposes for them as well. All their dwelling in the presence of God through his grace. But just for now, let's focus in on this little bit in chapter 6. It starts with Paul saying these words, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Now just to touch that back to what I was saying about how that sounds when you're in the wilderness place, when you're in that place of struggle and everything's hard going, and then you hear somebody say, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power," and maybe we might want to make a response to that. Paul knew, didn't he, that there would be times when God's people would need to be clinging so tightly to that these words of encouragement. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Times when it would feel like the wilderness kind of place was threatening to take over. But if you can just cling on to the way to be strong that Paul was showing God's people here, then all would be well. That's the sense of the teaching that's coming out here. And here's that way to be strong. Paul says, put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And the image here is the thought of a warrior dressed for battle. And so we read about that belt of truth that Paul lists out here. That way of living in the truth of God. Not living in lies and deceptions and being sucked in by those things. But living in the truth of God. That breastplate of righteousness. You know, the breastplate on the warrior would have been the thing that was visible in front. Everybody would have seen it. And it would have been seen there as that thing of protection. And what are we showing to people? We want to show them, don't we, the righteousness of God, the right ways of God, the right ways of relating to God. And then he goes on about having our feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel, living each moment, taking each step of our lives, focused on the word of God, the truth of the word of God. And then he carries on, he talks about the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, everything that God can equip us with, to be close to him, to know him as our dwelling place, even in the midst of our struggles. And then there's that last little bit that he says in verse 18 about prayer. Pray all the time. Pray continually. Pray consistently. Whatever word you want to add there. You know, this is how to live out this name of God that we're focusing on. To live out this embrace of the Lord as our dwelling place. And when we can do that, when we can live with the truth of God central to everything that we're about, and when we can follow God's right ways and do the things that God delights in seeing us doing, then we can know as well the strength of faith that we can stand in that nothing will defeat. We'll know then our security of hope that salvation gives us. We'll hold on to the Spirit of God living in us, won't we? And we bring the whole thing together with those committed and consistent lives of prayer. And we'll always be able to say this. The Lord is my dwelling place. In him I have made my home. In Christ alone I know my hope. I see it before me every day. It keeps me focused. It keeps me strong. And so I always know that the Lord is with me and I am with him. That's what Paul's writing to the Ephesian church. And that's what Paul's words are here for us today, to encourage us, to let them fill us and to let this sense of dwelling in God's presence in that way be real for us. I want to say these words of encouragement. Let God be your dwelling place. Here's the thing though, with all of this encouragement for things to be like that, like I've just been explaining, why is it so difficult? If our Bibles, both Old and New Testament, show us how much it is a reality of living each day, knowing that God is our dwelling place, our strength, our comfort, our hope, our security, our defence, all of those things, then why is it that so often that actually our lived out experience feels maybe the complete opposite? It feels more like the attack and the struggle, more like that wilderness kind of place. Many of you here know that the last couple of weeks for us as a family have been, challenging. Let me just use that word. I could use plenty of others. And as we look ahead of us, there are a number of things that need to be sorted out and worked through that are going to be hard going. Listen, I'm not going to stand here today and pretend to you that these last couple of weeks, through every moment of it, it's felt constantly okay. Because we know that God is our dwelling place. And he has peacefully carried us through without any tension and without any hassles. I'm not going to stand here and pretend that to you, because, listen, that's just not how it's felt. That's not how it feels right now either, if I'm completely honest. You know, I remembered this last week something that Keith Judson shared with me after my dad died a couple of years ago. He said this: don't let bereavement be your home. Visit it often and respond in the ways that you need to, but don't dwell in that place forever. You know, those are powerful words, and they're absolutely right, and they could be focused on all kinds of things, not just on bereavement, about the place we let ourselves dwell and take over our lives. But you know, hearing that and living it out, maybe there are two completely different things. Let me ask you this then: what are the other places where we make our home? Where do we make our dwelling place? Instead of being completely and utterly and totally, moment by moment, second by second, even focused on the Lord as our dwelling place. What are those other things, those other places that perhaps control us and hold us down? And maybe even we go there purposefully because it's familiar and it might not feel great, but somehow we feel safe there because it's familiar and comfortable. We're thinking here about that place, or letting God be that place all the time, but I wonder what is it that gets in the way for you of that being your experience. Maybe it is bereavement for some here, like I've just mentioned. For other people, the fear of failure or the experience of rejection in the past is going to limit our ability to flourish in life now in the amazing ways that God intends for us to live. Or is it that we have this focus constantly on money or our financial security, and that's the thing that fills our minds the most, rather than trusting in God to come through for us, to be the one who will meet his promise to provide for all our needs? I wonder if that's what it is. We can get so caught up in worrying about getting old, maybe, can't we? And we forget to embrace and enjoy life now while we have the opportunity. We can go on adding more and more places to our dwelling places list, can't we? Places we take ourselves off to because, like I've said already, somehow they feel safe or familiar. Or actually maybe we think, we just have no option. This is what always happens. If this happens, then I'll always end up there. You know, I'm not saying that, any of these examples are wrong. You know, there's another one we could add to the list that I've got here. We can think about this I'm not good enough phrase. I wonder if any of us live with that one. You know, that little tape. I have one of these tapes that I live with, that occasionally the button gets pressed with, I'm not good enough, or I'm not doing enough. I wish I didn't have it, but it's there. It's part of who I am. I'll be honest with you, it's in much better control now than it used to be, but I know it's still there. You know, all of these things, part of our lives, part of so many people's lives. So I wonder where we're at with all of this morning. You know, it's good that we strive after certain things, isn't it? It's good that we strive to feel secure. It's responsible that we do that. It's good that we strive to be a good parent, husband, wife, whatever it is that we do. The thing is, though, whenever any of that gets in the way of us seeing God fully as our dwelling place, when any of all of that other stuff masks the ability for us to know God as our dwelling place, then we need to make it our steady habit to run back to him, to come back to him, to come back to the Lord again and again as our dwelling place, back to our fortress, our rock, our provider, our protector. In preparing for today, I was reading again about the benefit of learning Bible passages about the power, love and faithfulness of God, learning them in our lives so that we can carry them with us, so that we can turn to them in our minds when we're struggling. I was reading as well about a comment added to that about giving thanks to God for his past protection, doing what I was saying before about looking back and realising that actually in that wilderness place that we went through, whenever it was, when everything was horrible, actually, yeah, we know God was there protecting us. We can see that. Let's give thanks to God for that. And then there was a final comment that encourages us to recall the promises of God that he makes in our Bibles to never leave us or give up on us, so that we can carry those with us in our present struggles. And then came this final comment. It says, as you do these things, so that's the referring to the learning about those Bible passages and giving thanks to God for his protection in the past, knowing that God will never leave us or give up on us. As you do these things, you will learn to rest in the powerful encircling arms of God, who is far stronger than any other method of self-defense that we could ever devise. The Lord is far stronger than anything we could put in place instead of him. The Lord is our dwelling place. So let's live there and know his strength in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just pause quietly. There's a lot that perhaps has come up out of that for you this morning. And Lord, as we dwell in your presence right now, help us to be honest and open and vulnerable, like I said at the beginning, about the wilderness kind of places that we either are living in right now or that we know at times we take ourselves off to. And Father, help us to come and fully reconnect with you as our dwelling place. Just pause then in quietness and bring yourself to God. Be honest with him. Lord, as we carry on in our prayers, just for a moment, help us to express, Lord, in our hearts, our longing to dwell with you, our Lord. Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5 say this: one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Father, help us to cling to those words that express our longing for you to be our dwelling place. Away from all of the other things and places we will take ourselves off to that seek to destroy. Father, help us little by little, maybe if that's the only way we can do it, to replace those other homes, those other dwelling places, whether that's about grief or rejection or failure or the I'm not good enough, and gradually and slowly get those things back in control so that, Lord, we know you as our dwelling place. And Father, for those moments when we feel under pressure, maybe we feel that things are getting to us and we live out those lies in our lives. Maybe it is that I'm not good enough one. Maybe it is that we've heard people say to us so many times that you're worthless, you're stupid, you've failed. Whatever it is, then Lord, help us to focus on your words like we have here in Psalm 31. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling place you keep them safe from accusing tongues. Father, help us to hear your words again. You are my precious child. and I will never stop loving you. And Lord, perhaps what we need more than anything else is a greater vision of you as our dwelling place. From everlasting to everlasting, as it says in Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Give us that bigger vision of you, Lord. The confidence that we need in you, Lord. Help us to seek that vision of you, to give us the confidence that you are in and active in all things, in all parts of our lives, the little things as well as the big things, whether that's about our own day-to-day times quietly on our own, or whether it's about us coming together as your church, seeking to be the best we can be for you, Lord. Whether that's about little things like decorating the halls, the rooms off the hall over the summer, or it's about seeking your bigger vision of your plans and purposes for us as church, which sometimes, Lord, feels so huge and so ridiculous because they're so huge. But Lord, in those places, we seek a bigger vision of you, our dwelling place. And then finally, Lord, as we come to Psalm 84, then Lord, help us to remember what an amazing place it is to be dwelling with you. The psalmist writes, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns for you, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near the altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are praising you forever. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor on good things. No good things does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." Father, help us to realize what an amazing place it is to know you. An amazing thing it is to be, Lord, dwelling in your presence. To find our hope, to find that thing that somehow makes our life make that bit more sense, and it gives us that hope and that sense of purpose, not just for now, but for all time, for the future, for those that we love around us. It gives us our security, our strength that we find in you, knowing that we are unconditionally loved through your grace. Father, help us to desire that in our lives. We might not completely get everything there is to know about you. We might not understand everything there is to know about Jesus right now, Lord. But God, help us to start in this place, realizing that you are with us through your Holy Spirit's power. You are present in our lives. And Lord, help us each day to be more aware of that, to acknowledge your presence there with us, guiding, protecting, strengthening, carrying us through when we are in the depths of that wilderness place. Lord, help us to make you our dwelling place. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, our final hymn expresses so well how we long to be living the name of God as our dwelling place in all things. So if the worship group come and join me now, please, so that we can stand together and express these words together. The Lord is our dwelling place. We want him to be our vision in all things. So let's stand, if we can, to sing, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart."